live from the mosquito-infested studios just outside the Everglades National Refuge Center. It's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. Featuring your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, renowned herpetologist, insurance magnate, and retired professional reptile rodeo clown, Peg Leg Greg Ringhausen. Also featuring attorney, author and inventor, and legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, and also the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And last and least, former host of the hit television program, Germans of Jerseyville's Reptile Kingdom, six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, and winner of the silver medal for alligator wrestling at the 1992 Olympics at Barcelona, Spain. Here's the host of your show, Alan Ringhausen.
Yeah. That intro makes me want to eat a steak.
Whoa.
Doesn't it?
Yes. Rare.
No, you're thinking of...
Bloody.
What was that Copeland's name that wrote the steak song? I'll have to find that for you. That's not it.
No, the U.S. Beef Council or something had a commercial, and they had Sam Elliott.
I know they did, but it wasn't that song.
Beef.
That was the Magnificent Seven song.
Best
and the Magnificent Seven song is not the song that was used in the beef commercials.
I don't think so.
I know not.
Ooh, go out, check it out. Let's go to the phones.
You can check it out any way you want, dude.
Ooh.
Get bent, man.
Yeah, he's on it tonight.
Uh-huh.
Or today.
In fact,
this is going to be one of those shows where you get all like upset and stuff.
No.
Like,
we have to check
all
you out.
Moody.
I'm telling you.
And you just stop talking.
Just go home, guys. Go he's taking his ball and leaving.
Go ahead. Go ahead and look it up on your phone. Make it play.
You think I got time to just sit around and scroll through my phone like a teenager? Greg, look it up, will you?
Well, I'm trying.
Oh, we'll just leave dead air. I mean, I'll clip the dead air out. You can find it.
Here we go. So a little moody. Just a little older and a little moody. Woo.
Maybe he's just a little edgy because he's been on a road trip going across the country.
I'll tell you, that last hour of driving to that place is...
You can say the place. It's not a dirty word.
To Asheville, North Carolina.
Where the Biltmore Mansion is.
And you drug a camper halfway across the country, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
Wow.
And just to be clear... Each of the three of us have gone to see the Biltmore Mansion independently.
Yes.
Different times.
Within the last, 6 months or so?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We were in December.
Tell them what the Biltmore Mansion actually is.
It's a big house.
Darn big house. It's the house that one of the Vanderbilts built.
It's the largest private residence ever built in the United States of America to this date.
That is correct. And...
bigger than any movie star.
This is true.
Think in terms of like an English baron if you watch Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
A lot like that.
Downton Abbey. Yeah. Pretty good.
And apparently they had like a whole bank of servants there. And just to be clear.
That lived on the ground. Yeah, in the house.
This Vanderbilt wasn't the one who made the gajillions of dollars stealing it from people. That was the old grandpa.
Whoa.
No, this guy got it.
Stealing? How can you say that? That's the kind of thing you'll get sued by the Vanderbilt.
They called him robber barons. He was a robber baron.
He was one of them.
Cooper Anderson suing us, dragging us through the mud.
Cooper Anderson. No, but
he's a Vanderbilt. He was from the Vanderbilt family. His mother was Gloria Vanderbilt.
Exactly. I'm surprised you knew that.
Well,
but
go ahead.
But the son or grandson got all the money and spent it.
Yeah.
I mean, on this house.
Yeah. There's several of these grandkids, and they all built gigantic mansions. This kid spent
tons.
A titanic amount. And there is no Vanderbilt fortune now.
It's gone.
Well, and he pretty much died right after it was finished. Yeah, he only lived in it just a few years.
Yeah, a few that's years. True. But he married young.
Yeah, he did. You know, that's the thing that surprised me. And they said that he moved his new wife in there. I figured when they said that he was like 70, 80 years old.
No.
Yeah, he's only like 35 years old when he moved in.
Yep.
Right.
Who'd have thunk it?
Right. But he had established, it was like a house, and it sat on, was it 120,000 acres?
A ton of acreage.
Tremendous amount of acres, which is now a national forest.
Yeah, apparently there was some the great panic of 18 whatever going on, and when Vanderbilt showed up with his checkbook to buy North Carolina scrub ground, he found willing buyers.
Yeah.
The song is Aaron Copland's Hoedown from Rodeo.
Thank you very much. I said Copland, I'm sure.
Roll the tape. That sounds like, yeah, it is it. That's it.
That would be the Beef, It's What's for Dinner song.
Man, that sounds good right now.
You can have a great beef dinner in no
time.
There
you go.
Well, almost no time at all. Beef, It's What's for Dinner.
But that was not What's-His-Face, the
no, he
mustachioed
was, no.
man.
It was
Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott.
No, I understand, but that was the song.
Yeah.
Still
the two of you can now say it.
I think that was Robert Mitchum.
Wait.
I think that was Robert Mitchum.
Say
could have been.
Say it, both of you.
Because that's been
I
some
was
time
mistaken.
Ago.
Both of you, say it.
I was mistaken.
And you, Greg?
I have to say it. That's like listening to a song.
You'd think I'd get tired of hearing that I'm right, but, you know, it really never wears out on me.
Uh-huh. Wears out on us.
Bill Moore, did you see the bowling alley in the basement?
Yes.
Yeah.
How about the swimming pool?
I saw that, too.
Yeah.
The bowling alley had no pin setters, right?
No, not automatic. It had pin setters.
It had a couple of the tough guys of the neighborhood that
have
did
to
that,
be.
Right? Did you say they had a bowling alley in Hardin?
At one time.
Where's Hardin? What is that?
Hardin, Illinois.
But it's between the Illinois and Mississippi
is
rivers.
Is it close to Chicago?
It's, no, about a 5-hour drive.
And it's the paternal home of the Ringhausen dynasty.
Family.
But you were telling about the bowling alley they had there?
Yeah, Dad, who is of a certain age that remembers when they had a bowling alley there, and there was nothing mechanical about it. They had pin setters, and the pin setters were the youth of the community. And he said it was only the tough kids that set the pins.
Because they could have bowling balls running down the alley. You never know. Setting the pins, somebody gets anxious, throws the ball down the alley. Here it comes. Whoa.
It's kind of dangerous. That was two alleys at the Biltmore, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Two lanes.
Okay. So you've got the pin setter, one for each lane. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, is one guy having to set pins while someone else is bowling then?
Yeah, I'd say so, probably.
Well, that'd be it.
That's a chance you'd have to take.
That'd be a bold call, wouldn't it?
I would think so. I'm trying to get to...
So they'd have to clean the pins up after the first ball, ready for the second ball.
This is the song I was thinking of.
It's not it.
This is what I thought was in the Beef commercial.
Oh. Beef. It's just for dinner. No, it didn't work.
Ah.
It would.
That's the Magnificent 17.
This is the Magnificent 17. Which is also a great song.
It was.
Better than the song. They should have used it. Maybe they couldn't get permission.
That would be my guess. Used to run out to that basketball when we first in high school.
That was a sampling of a very popular song.
Yes.
It was commercial.
Under the open.
Playing on the TV in the background.
Under the Open Use Act doctrine of the FFC. FCC.
What's it?
FCC.
FCC.
Biltmore.
Yeah, let's stay focused here.
Well, if we're doing that, I'm leaving.
Okay, I understand.
Okay. This doesn't have anything to do with the Biltmore. Did I tell you? Did I tell you what I saw on the drive to the Biltmore?
I thought I was coming home.
Go ahead.
Okay.
A lot of pine trees?
Lots of pine trees.
Some beautiful scenery?
Beautiful scenery.
Mountains.
A lot of curves
in the road. You bet. Even more when you get.
Okay. So, Sue and I... driving in the truck, hauling the camper, coming home from going to the Biltmore.
Dogs in the truck.
We're driving down the interstate highway.
Exhausted.
Drunk? No. Not both of us. So we're driving down the highway. Car parked by the side of the road with the hood up, you know. And usually, the law now is that when you see something on the side of the road, you move over, leave an open lane there.
Correct.
Blowing them off their feet.
Scott's law.
By. So I'm in the process of pulling over.
Scott's law.
But keeping an eye on what's going on. And
Scott's law.
Outside the car, behind the car.
We heard you.
On the shoulder of the road are two young ladies, I'd say 20s, early 20s maybe.
Young, from your perspective, is anyone under 60.
That would be correct. And the two young ladies are fist fighting.
Yeah.
Duking all right. Out, face, I mean, just punching each other in the face, and they're in their underwear.
You know, I think there's a video you can rent.
For that? You know, I took the same road, you know, and went about the same time. I mean, daylight. Didn't see anything like that at all.
I immediately said, Suzanne, avert your eyes.
The only fight on our trip was inside the car. Yeah.
I had a few of those, too.
You know, and the funny thing is, each one of my brothers that I've told this to immediately said, did you take pictures? Are there pictures? Are there video? I was driving 70 miles an hour down an interstate highway. So, I did not take video.
But, Rick, half the people that you were meeting were scrolling on their phones while they're driving and could easily have captured some quick video.
Well, maybe they did, but I didn't search the entire internet looking.
There's still time.
Go to YouTube, see what's up.
So, you know, and the question, what, did you pull over and help them? No.
No.
Because I knew that if I pull over to help them, which I asked Suzanne, should we pull over and help them? And she said, I'll call the police if you want. And we didn't do that either.
I'm sure that was.
You know that if you pull over to help them in that situation, a whole bunch of burly guys are going to pour out of the van and rob you.
Or you could get beat up by two women.
That part never crossed my mind.
It crossed everybody else's, Rick. Yeah,
I just said it out loud.
I had Suzanne with me.
Well, she wouldn't have. Oh. That'd be...
She wasn't going to do it in her underwear.
Okay, here's my question. Is what actions transpired
to get him to
lead up to that point in time that you got to witness it?
Well, how long?
I wondered that too. I mean, because it wasn't like it was a big motor home or anything. I mean, it was a car.
Right.
So, below the side of the road.
And were there clothes just laying in a pile there that...
I did not look that closely.
They had torn each other's clothes off during the course of the fight?
I don't know the answer to that either.
That's what I was thinking.
It's just one of those little glimpses of life that catches you by surprise.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
The only other time I saw a girl fight like that, you know, like a really good one like that...
It was in high school.
We were at the Elton John concert... Underneath the Gateway Arch in 1980.
Whoa.
We were there. And it had rained.
Oh, yeah.
Like incredibly hard the day before. And it was super hot and humid that day.
Yeah, over 100.
But on the grounds, there was like a swale.
Good
and
word.
It was a low area. And it was kind of water standing in there. And that's where the fight took place.
Wow.
And when these two chicks start, can I use the word chicks?
Yeah. I would say.
Well, you can. It's offensive and inappropriate, but go ahead.
Two ladies.
They started duking it out and tore off parts of each other's clothing, and they had a fantastic cheering section.
Yeah. They had a bigger audience than Elton John.
And, you know, nobody there really cared who won or
lost.
They
just wanted to see who just beat the heck out of
each other. Everybody in the crowd was a winner.
Yeah. And we
is that just wrong, what I'm saying right now? I witnessed something that actually happened, and I'm just repeating what happened.
No,
that's
right.
The same thing with my story driving back from the
building. Right.
I didn't cause this.
I wonder if those two are still alive.
Tell them to duke it out.
The two that Rick saw or the two that I saw?
You saw.
I mean, still alive. They didn't perish there on the arch ground.
It wasn't to the death.
No.
Gladiators.
1980. I wonder, you know, they still around after beating the heck out of each other? You know,
they're good friends.
What
now.
Doesn't kill you makes you stronger, Greg.
Yeah, I've seen that, but I also saw that you can get the heck beat out of you and just not recover, too.
I think that they shook hands and
did they?
And walked away arm in arm.
Hey, Greg, what happens in Fight Club?
Stays in Fight Club? Yeah, sometimes.
Well, what's the number one rule in Fight Club?
Don't talk about Fight Club.
There you go. There you go. And you still haven't watched the movie There Will Be Blood?
No.
Neither have I.
Okay. The mansion from There Will Be Blood, I thought that it was the Biltmore.
Good segue.
Because it looked almost exactly the same.
I knew where he's going, though.
And then I was trying to bring this all about, and then you said, well, I've never seen that movie. It's only an Academy Award-winning film. And what did you go watch most recently?
Barbie. Barbie. I tell you what, Barbie lives in a place that's just as nice as the Biltmore.
It's where you want to live, isn't it, Rick?
Barbie land?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to do spoilers for everybody. The Kens are Kens are secondary.
Here it comes!
The Kens are secondary citizens in Barbie land.
Yeah, well, huh? And how is that different from your world?
It's not.
And my world?
Yeah.
Shoot.
All right.
I will note that the one guy who couldn't get a Barbie was named Alan.
Ooh.
That's harsh.
He's on a roll tonight.
Biltmore.
Yeah, what was your favorite part about Biltmore?
Greg.
Oh, well, we went during Christmas time. And it was the lighting outside. It was just spectacular. Yeah. We went at night. And it was
talking like, if you broke it down Christmas room trees. By room, what would be your favorite
room? Oh, rooms? The great room or the dining room.
The giant dining hall?
Room. Yeah.
I tapestries so. And everything.
Yeah.
It was fabulous.
There's so many, though. They had a cigar smoking room and all kinds of different...
You mean the billiard room?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they had a smoking room off of the billiard room.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a waste of money.
Oh, my God. It's incredible.
You know, you got this architect... You got an architect and a groundskeeper guy who apparently earned so much money from them that they had big portraits painted of both of them to hang up.
Well, it was like a lifetime achievement for both of them.
Getting the contract was the lifetime achievement.
Yeah.
How it was spent after that, who knows? But
he built a railroad track to it.
Yeah. Just to get the supplies
just
in there.
Just to get the supplies
because
there.
It's in the middle of nowhere.
Exactly.
Yeah, you drive, you follow the sign through Asheville and it says Biltmore Mansion, you turn off, and then you drive for like 3 miles before through the woods, curving around all these different turns, and there's not two plants that are the same through the whole.
Drive there thing. At night trying to get out of there.
I haven't done that.
It was tough.
Well, it was also interesting that, at the gate to go into the Biltmore Estate, they built a little village.
Yep.
It had a whole bunch of buildings that looked like stuff from the Biltmore. Because all of his laborers were building these things to stay in while they were building the Biltmore.
Man.
There's an army of people working on the damn thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then almost as soon as it was finished, he ran out of money and couldn't afford to keep it up or pay the taxes, right?
Well, and then he sold off about 100,000 acres to
Great Depression
the government.
Hit, knocked the stops out from being rich.
Right. But his concept was to have a self-sustaining estate. And that had its own
everything,
dairy
farm,
and it had its like egg livestock. Farm. It had all these things that they were selling.
Plants.
At one point in time, it's the biggest dairy on the East Coast, east half of the United States of America. Something affecting you here, Rick?
Well, I've got a dairy commercial.
A dairy commercial?
I thought I had a pickle commercial. We got a dairy commercial. You just made me think of it.
We probably need to take a commercial break then.
Should
go
we take
ahead.
A commercial break?
Yeah.
Today's program is brought to you by Tim Housen Dairy Farms. Pure, unadulterated milk, fresh from the cow. Are you crazy? Do you really want to risk your life on a spin of the bacteria wheel? Tim Housen's Dairy sells nothing but grade A milk loaded with all the vitamins and chemicals that will help you sleep well at night. We add retinol palmitate for vitamin A, carinogenin to emulsify. We add tribasculum calcium phosphate for bone strength, and dipotassium phosphate for consistency. And don't forget your PGPR, polyglycerol polyrhythiolatidate, a chemical so powerful that we can't even say what it does in advertisements. But you can bet you want it. Homogenized, pasteurized, you name it, we eyes it. Tim Housen Dairy Farms. Delicious, safe milk.
I've been out to that farm quite a few times.
Yeah?
Yeah. The chemicals are about right.
Have you drank cow's milk, just fresh out of the cow? Any of you?
No, but I
used to go stay at a friend's house.
Gettin's.
That had a dairy.
Dairy farm.
Dairy farm. And they milked, you know, like 100 cows a day or something like that. I don't know.
And it was the job of the kids to go out and milk the cows. Well, twice a day,
they had mechanized milking devices there. But it all pumped in straight from the cow into a tank, a holding tank, that, you know, like every other day, a truck would come and take it off to the dairy where it would be, as you mentioned, homogenized, pasteurized, whatever else they do to the milk. But until it left that tank, it was straight from the cow. And they would just go out with a pitcher and dip out a big pitcher of cow's milk and start drinking it.
Oof.
Straight from the animal.
So,
did you drink
it? God, it was so thick I couldn't hardly swallow it.
Top of the cream rises to the top.
Rises to the top.
So, when I was very, very young, there was this canister, a regular milk can, I think it was 5 gallons, 10 gallons, whatever, and was sitting in the kitchen, and I didn't know what it was, so I took the lid off. No one was around, and I,
urinated in it.
What?
And you urinated in it.
No. No.
No, that's at the dairy.
I couldn't reach it. I couldn't reach it then. So I was that small. So I just kind of helped myself. It was good. The cream was right at the top, man. Warm.
Uh-huh.
It was good.
Where'd they get cow's milk?
He had a cow.
Who did?
Who had a cow?
My Uncle Harold.
Well, you didn't look
Uncle Harold?
He's Who's Uncle Harold?
Harold German.
Harold German had a cow.
E-I-E-I-O. Did you ever milk it? Have you?
No,
you ever
I was that young. I was 3, 4, 5
Have you ever
years
milked
old.
A cow?
No, I didn't. I have not.
Alan, have you ever milked
a
cow?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, yeah, I have.
We didn't ask you.
Because we wouldn't have believed you anyway. Granny Churchman had a cow that she milked every day.
I remember.
And we had to go up there to the barn, milk the cow, carry the milk back to the house.
Yeah, my uncle lived
Sounds like ancient times.
It is. See, my uncle lived next to the Biltmore.
My kids say, you know, your show's not bad until you start talking about, like,
old-time
stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because they don't really care.
So these are the dark parts of
the show. Yes, we're going into the shadows.
So did I talk about the two ladies fighting by the side of the road?
Yeah,
in their underwear?
Yeah. Anybody really throw a haymaker and land it?
Yeah. I mean, one of them punched the other one right in the face.
You got to see
it. And she reeled back. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Good punch. There's nothing better than a good punch in a fight. You know, you usually wrestle around.
What are you, some kind of sadistic weirdo?
No.
Fighting's not good. We don't encourage that kind of thing here.
But Greg's a professional referee.
Well, that's true.
If you're in one, land a good one, and it's over.
Have you?
Bull Durham.
You ever been in a fight?
Yes.
Really? Did you win?
Who'd fight?
Friend, we just got in an argument.
Uh-huh.
And it ended up with a fist fight.
Did it start with a game of ping pong?
No. Good thought, though.
Okay.
No. Just
did you win?
No, it's draw.
Did you get your nose broke?
No, that's a good question. You think people would go for that? You hit somebody in the nose.
It looks
that,
like your
that
weakness.
Really hurts. That would be done. Yeah, it would be.
It's the closest thing.
Yeah. Tell a little hard.
It's the second closest thing.
There you go. Thank you, Rick.
Are you insinuating? No. His stomach.
Mm-hmm.
You ever get in a fight, Rick?
Huh?
You ever been in a fight other than with your wife?
No.
Okay.
Ringhouse and Brothers have never lost a fight.
Never been in one. I was actually in a fight in grade school.
This is what
playground fight.
Yep. That's
playground fight.
Yep. Started. We were playing basketball and tempers flared, and ended up getting in a fight. David Gibbons.
This is football.
How'd that come out?
It was kind of a draw.
Nah.
That's what I said.
It's pretty rare that in a playground fight that one of them just beats the other one unconscious to a bloody pulp.
It
at some
really
point,
happen.
Someone win or win.
I think I had a fat lip and he had a black eye.
Ooh, nice shot.
Oh, you gave him a shiner?
That's what I said. Good shot. Good punch, you know? Usually ends it. I'm done. No moss.
That was it.
No moss.
And no animosity after that. You know, when the fight was over, it was done.
Cleared the air.
But it's just one of those things, you know, it happens with kids. What was that? River runs through it?
It's like wrestling.
At the chase.
It's a way to solve your problems. And what is this? This is episode
10?
10.
Oh, what is it? What hold is this?
10. It's the back backflip.
Oh, man.
How's a backflip? Describe that hold.
Oh, it's called the back loop. It's where you lock the arm of your opponent, and then like you fall backwards and flip them over your shoulder.
Mm. Have you ever done that in your wrestling career?
Have I ever done that to somebody else or
the alligator?
I assume applied to you. I assume you've had almost every hold demonstrated to you.
You know, like when the coach would demonstrate. You know, like have the whole team sitting around on the mat, and all right, we're going to work on a new hold. Ringhausen, come over here. He just used me as the...
He didn't pick the biggest, toughest kid. He wasn't like, Moose Clunk, come on down here. We're going to show you a new hold. It was Ringhausen, step down.
Well, she's like, Ringhausen, pay attention. Come on up here and I'm going to show some new holds here.
Don't hurt me.
I had to look around and see if there was some other Ringhausen in the room.
Wasn't, was there?
No.
Yeah. Usually happens to the best of us.
Okay, it's a Biltmore.
Yes.
They had tons of stuffed animals in there, too. I don't know if they were necessarily all killed there on the estate, though.
Well, there was a bunch of moose. I can't imagine that they killed a lot of moose in North Carolina.
There was a moose on the wall?
Like 10 of them.
Huh, I guess I missed that. I thought they were deer. Everything else, I thought they were deer.
Yeah.
Oh, I got another question for you.
Yeah.
You remember when I was talking about zonkies last week?
Yeah. A couple weeks ago,
I mean, like a cross between a zebra and a donkey.
Yeah.
Is a zonkey.
Yeah.
If I cross a horse You've and a donkey. You've been
thinking about this. Okay.
It's a mule.
It's not a honky.
No, it's a mule.
It's a mule.
Should be a honky.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Or a dorse. No, a donkey and a horse. It could be a dorse.
It could be a dorse.
A dorsey. Donkey, horsey, donk. Yeah, I whatever. Okay, you call whatever you want, Rick.
What about the Biltmore?
Oh, okay. So you got the house, but then also you got this giant, elaborate garden, and I didn't see a single vegetable in it.
Well, we were there during the winter, but the hothouse was amazing. Did you guys go into that?
Yeah, I don't think the hothouse. At first, I thought that was where they were, like, you know, growing the plants they were placed all around the grounds. But I think that is just an exhibition thing
Of exotic plants.
It is, but
around different the world. Exotic plants.
But they do still use part of that for some of the plants around there. Is what I was told.
There was a giant plant in the corner that was like a big giant pod, and it talked to me. It said, feed me.
Does that happen a lot to you?
Is there a...
There's certain plants that make me think that.
They always say you should... They always say you should talk...
I didn't see any of those there.
They say you should talk to your plants, but in Alan's case, they talk back, so he quit doing it.
What? What do you mean I need to clean the house? Oh, that was Sarah.
Well. So did you... Which of you guys camped while you went to the Biltmore?
I stayed right downtown.
Nice hotel for me, buddy.
In the loft.
Now, they actually have a hotel on the Biltmore grounds.
Yes, they do.
Did you stay in that hotel?
No, it was one in town. But did you go to the Biltmore Village?
Yes, we did.
To where they have the winery.
Oh, yeah.
And they have, like, the old stables and the dairy barn that they've converted now into... Wine cellars and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Hit
you should have gone to that, Rick.
I did not go
there. That's the other half of the story.
We ate at the restaurant there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good.
Yeah, it was excellent.
Were you served by servants?
Yes.
Just
very,
like a
very, very, very kind.
Just like farm hands. And I had milk straight from a cow.
He didn't like gag
Tim
on
Hauser.
It.
I think they get their milk from the Hauser. What is it? Tim Hauser? Farms.
Have you ever drank any other kind of milk other than cow's milk?
No, but here's another part of my Biltmore adventure.
Goat's milk?
Almond.
Almond milk? That's not from another creature.
I didn't say creature. You said milk.
What? That's not milk.
It's the fruit.
How's that milk?
It's the fruit of the vine, man.
It was not lactated from some other creature. It was just crushed
it's
up.
It's lactate from a fruit.
It's artificial. It's not milk.
Can't milk it.
Yeah, well, you can't, but you can eat it.
Okay, so wife and I are camping, right? Outside.
I'm sorry, Greg. I don't care.
I was no
What's
argument.
What's wrong with you, Greg?
So we're boondocking on the Biltmore ground.
Then tell your fascinating story, Rick.
So we can go.
My
asleep.
Fascinating story is that getting ready to go camp there, we'd stop at a store to buy supplies, so that you don't have to truck them, you know,
all the way. Miles. Yeah.
So we go to this store, and as soon as we walk in, it's like,
"Hi, well, Rick, it's your next door neighbor, right?"
No, it's full of like hippies.
Oh,
from
yeah.
the 60s.
Yeah.
And we're going, got a cart, and we're heading down the aisles, and don't recognize the name of a single product in this place.
Ooh, okay.
So, like,
what kind of store were you in, Rick?
It was a grocery store, but
for sure.
Yeah, but like the cereals, there would be like five different boxes of different things, and none of them were any cereal company that you've ever seen or heard of before.
Really?
Hmm. Cookies, strange wonder type of cookies. It was like I dropped in to
Trader Joe's or
to
something.
Go shop in Czechoslovakia. Uh-huh. We had started off picking out a couple things and finally flipped out enough that we put the stuff back and left.
You went to a 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
There you go. Now you get some
ding dongs and soda.
There you go.
Wow.
All right. You say time's up.
It is.
It is.
Enjoyed this. I hope everyone has enjoyed this trip to the Biltmore.
Yeah.
Like, you really know what you're going to see when you get there.
It didn't help at all. It didn't help.
It's a big house.
A bit.
Big house.
Worth it. Big house.
Go to it. Enjoy it.
It's worth it.
Yep.
I loved it.
It was great.
Awesome. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestler has been brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for our cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Greg Gator, Rick Gator, and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network. Accept no substitutes.